setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. In other words, it's all about you stepping into work that matters deeply to you. Is the dream job nothing more than a childhood fantasy? No, it's not. What does the dream job look like and feel like? Well, it looks like a person who is experiencing tremendous joy and satisfaction because they're doing what they do best, so things just are operating at a high level of efficiency. And then the work itself is so enjoyable because of the combination of being good at it and believing in the results. The results matter. And so this is where talent, passion, values, they all kind of come together. And in that moment, a person experiences what Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, famed psychologist, calls flow. He actually uses the word ecstasy to describe what it feels like. And it is possible. And by the way, it's needed. We're not doing this just because we want to live our best life. I mean, this isn't about motivation. This is about significance. In other words, it's not about us, it's about other people. So we are supposed to discover that sweet spot where what we do best and what we love to do most exists. Where is that sweet spot? And then we step in that sweet spot and we do work there, not for us, but for others, because you were created to fill a unique role. That means you are needed. And it also means that you must do it. It's a duty for you to be you, because it's for somebody else. So that's what we're about. 844-747-2577. Let's help you get the clarity you need so that you can confidently step forward. We start in Dallas, Texas, where Linda is on the line. Linda, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hello. What a privilege it is to speak with you, Ken.
Well, the privilege is all mine, Linda. How can I help today?
I feel that I'm underpaid in my current position. I have been with this company 10 years. I've been in my current position 3 years, and I just feel like I should be making more money compared to my peers.
Mm-hmm. Has something happened that has changed this feeling? For instance, has information about what your peers are making come to light that has made you start to feel this way?
Yes, I actually joined a local group that meets quarterly mm-hmm. of other people who are doing the same job that I'm doing in other companies so mm-hmm. that we could collaborate on ideas.
Okay.
And when I go to these meetings and I speak with them, it's not so much that we're talking about exactly how much we make, but it's pretty clear that their time there is not as limited as mine, and that they have the latitude and more freedom in their positions than I have.
Okay. Now, is that a financial issue or a role issue? The freedom, because you mentioned freedom. So now it feels like there's something else that's popping up as well.
I think it's both.
Yeah. Okay. How much is
I'm in soft.
Do you know how much the disparity is? Do you have a ballpark idea of what these other peers are making in similar positions versus what you're making?
Yes, I think it's about $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Have you done the research beyond just talking to these people in your local community to see what the market value is, a range of salaries for a position like yours?
Yes, I have.
What have you found?
I've looked at it. I've looked at several different websites entering my exact position title, as well as the top three job description items in mm-hmm. that title. Mm-hmm. And I've also looked in the marketplace for similar jobs in Dallas with the same title.
And? What'd you find? I'm trying to just verify so we can move on to what you need to do now. So have you verified that you're being paid on the lower end?
Yes, I'm not even in the range.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Now, have you had this conversation with your leadership?
I have. I started with HR.
Uh-huh.
I went to them first,
mm-hmm.
and I asked for a salary review.
Mm-hmm.
And HR said that they would provide that information to my supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
They would not provide it to me. And I did approach the topic with my supervisor, but I didn't get the feeling that it was very welcomed. And I let that person know that I had done some research. And I would like to schedule an appointment to discuss it.
Great. So you've done everything that you can do on your end, and I would begin to be looking elsewhere. And what's great is you've got this local community of peers, and seems to me that that's a wonderful place for you to be connecting with people, because I think you're looking for other opportunities in a different company, because there's no question you've done your homework and you're being underpaid. And the way you started off this phone call, you said, I feel like I'm being underpaid. And that's why I spend a little bit of time. Let's make sure that we don't feel something and that we have the facts, because facts don't care about our feelings. And so we want to make sure we have the facts, and you do. So you're looking elsewhere now. And then I hope that leadership will give you this review and that they do the right thing and talk to you. And let's see why the discrepancy is there, and let's see if there's a growth plan. What you want to hear from them is not you deserve a salary raise, but you really want to be talking about it in terms of long term. You know, what does my ladder look like? And so this is the perfect time to bring up that kind of conversation. And so that's what you've got to do. But you are already beginning to look elsewhere, because you've got the facts on your side, and let's see if we can get in a place that is going to pay you in the market value range. Right now, you're below the market value, and so you don't have to accept that. Now, we're not going to just jump off of a cliff, so I like the way you're handling this. You're not blowing up a bridge. We don't want you to do that. You've handled it the right way through HR, and you talked to your leader, and by all evidence, it seems as though you've handled it with class, and I would continue to do that. And then let's see what they decide to do. And if they don't do anything, you've already started looking anyway. So that's what I want you to do. And folks, this is really interesting too for the rest of you out there who are wondering, hey, where am I at in my current compensation? I think this ought to be a yearly thing. You know, I've not talked about this on the show before, but this conversation with Linda brings up a very, very, I think, important exercise that on a yearly basis, do some research out there and find what the market is offering for someone in your position, your skill set, your expertise, and so forth. And if you're on the low end of that range, it doesn't mean you go into your leader's office and throw a fit, but you just need to be aware. And here's what you're always looking for. I write about this in my best-selling book, The Proximity Principle. Be at a place like Ramsey Solutions. Get there. A place where they're known for developing their people and promoting their people. And then the pay will follow. More of your calls coming up. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Every day on The Ken Coleman Show, I talk to people who want to switch to a technology career, but they're worried it's going to cost way too much and take too long. Well, now my friends at Bethel Tech take care of all of that. You can get the most in-demand tech skills online and affordably. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to learn how you can save $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition and get a great technology job. betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Again, that's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Helping you discover what you are put on this earth to do. This is The Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. Thrilled to have you with us. More and more people coming aboard every day. They're going, hey, this is nice to turn on the old talk radio and not hear some guy screaming at somebody across the aisle, blaming somebody else for what's wrong with America. Let me tell you what's wrong with America. It's that 70% of Americans went to work yesterday morning, like they do every Monday morning, and they were trudging into work that just, it's not in their sweet spot. They might be good at it, but there's no connection to the work. There's no passion. Or maybe they're not very good at it and they're just hanging on for dear life because they're just trying to live paycheck to paycheck. That's what's wrong with America. So you can fight all you want to about who's got the better plan, which side of the aisle, left, right. I really don't care. Because I can tell you this right now, it's irrelevant. You are in control of your future. You don't need to look to Washington, D.C. So we come to you from Nashville. How about that? And we're going to help you. We're going to help you get the clarity you need so that you can confidently step forward on the path to fulfilling your purpose. And then we're going to help you stay there because you retreat to that clarity and confidence when you need the courage just to hang in there because the journey takes some time. Beyond calling the show at 844-747-2577. You can also email the show. We try to get to your emails a couple times a week. All right, Joe, let's read some emails.
Ken's electronic mail.
You've got mail.
Catherine writes in, Ken, I was wondering how the proximity principle applies to remote telecommute jobs. Well, the proximity principle says that in order to do what I want to do, I've got to be around people that are doing it and in places that it is happening. So it is just as effective if you're looking to get hired in a remote telecommuting job. Because again, the function, the role of what you're doing, other people do this. And you want to get around people that are doing it, get in places like companies that are hiring people like you. And so the process works. The number one best-selling book works, whether you are going to be working in a brick and mortar location or working remotely. There's no difference because it's all about the right people plus the right places equals opportunity. So Catherine, I don't know if you were looking for a different answer, but I'm going to give you the real answer. Brian writes in, your resume guide at kencolman.com, you have a section for references at the very top. Yes, we call it Who I Know. You don't want to write references. That's what everybody writes. You want to stand out. That's why we say, write Who I Know. How many references are too many? I'm applying for an accounting position, and I've got several connections, and I want to include as many of those as possible. The answer is include them all. Because, again, if you go to kencolman.com, you download the resume guide, one of the three Get Hired guides, you're going to see that we're looking for you to put the connections that you have in that building where you are applying. So I know, let me give you an example. So Catherine, who does our social media for Ken Coleman and the Ken Coleman Show, when she applied for the job, she made it all the way up, and I was one of the last interviews. And when I sat down, she handed me the Ken Coleman resume. It was exactly the way I write that I tell you people to do it. And she handed it to me, and at the very top, it said, I know Christy Wright through a close mutual friend. And already I was like, aha, very nice. So I could talk to Christy, who's a good friend of mine, and say, Christy, tell me about what so-and-so says about Catherine. And by the way, I did. So that's how that works. It could be 1 to 4, 1 to 5, 1 to 6 connections, but that person's got to be able to vouch for you. And that's how it works. Let's see. I got to read this one. I added this one to the pile, Joe. Got an email from a guy named Scott who was listening to our show last Thursday, August the 8th. He said, I heard you talk about the importance of trades, the trade positions, the trade industries, and the challenging of parents to be open to their young people going that path instead of the traditional college path. He said, I've hired and led people in the HVAC and building automation trades for over 20 years across multiple states in the Midwest. Today's HVAC tradespeople use technology and their expertise more than their hands and their backs to solve customer problems. This role in the Midwest can start at $40,000 a year with a long-term potential of over $100,000 a year. And many other perks, such as training, company vehicles, tools, 401k, HSA, that's health savings accounts, vacation, holidays off, and focused on ensuring the employee returns home safe every night to the ones whom they care about in their life. So this is a guy, Scott, who has been in the trades for 2 decades and hired a lot of young people. So I love this Scott, who is a listener of the show, who emails in to verify what we've been telling you, parents. If your kid would rather work in the trades, it doesn't mean they're a loser. You're talking about making, just in the HVAC space, $40,000 starting off and eventually making over $100,000. That kid could eventually run their own business. And now they're multimillionaires. Okay? And they're hiring people. And that's as successful as it gets in my mind. So there you go. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Nick, who's on the line in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Nick, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Nick. How can I help?
I am not living the dream right now.
All right.
So, little bit of backstory on me. About 2 years ago, I was starting to become a teacher, and about 2 weeks into my student teaching placement, teacher called me in and asked me to leave, said she didn't need me around no more. So it was after that point that I left the teaching field. I graduated, I finished my college degree, and then I spent the last 2 years working at UPS, paying off my debt and becoming debt-free.
Good for you, Nick. Good for you.
And so now I'm trying to figure out what exactly I'm supposed to do next, and I have absolutely no idea where to start, and so that's... I'm a brand new listener. I have no clue how to do this.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Let's go rewind for a moment, and let's go back to that student teaching thing. At that moment, before you had that experience, were you fired up about being a teacher?
No, I was not.
Oh, okay. Good news. All right. Well, then we'll leave that alone. I like that. So let's talk about what you do best. We always look at talent, and then we look at passion, what you love to do most. Let's look for some clues. What do you do better than anything else? If I interviewed everybody that knows you, they'd say, Nick does this really, really well. What would they say?
They say I'm very good with people. I'm good with people from different cultures and different backgrounds. I've worked with the youth at a Boys and Girls Club for the last 2 years, and I've been great at doing that. And so part of that was I'm good with working with youth and working with young kids, particularly from different backgrounds, so I'm good at that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I've been told I'm really good at is writing.
Okay, good.
Writing is something that I'm really good at.
Okay.
Also math, like math stuff.
Okay, good.
Like working with numbers I'm really good at.
Okay, good. Now, what do you do, what do you love to do? Like, even if you've never done it, but you've always wondered about it. Like, I wonder if I did this for a living, wouldn't that be awesome? I'm curious what pops in your mind.
I would love just to be able to tell stories, to be able to write about, write stories.
Good. What kind of stories?
I'd like to tell stories about real people, people that have come from different hard situations or have come from rough backgrounds and be able to tell their stories in a way that
people that are
telling to other people.
Is it people that have overcome tough backgrounds?
Yeah.
Is that personal to you?
Yes, it is.
You come from a tough background, huh?
I don't, but I know a lot of people who have come from tough backgrounds, and
okay,
I'd
so,
like to be able to tell their story.
All right, so let's look at this real quick. Let's just look and see. Does this match up? You've got people skills. You love working with young people and kind of developing and helping them. You're really good at writing, and you love storytelling. I think you start trying to find right now, your next steps are looking for ways for you to begin writing part-time, writing on the side, telling stories, some part-time journalism, and let's confirm that this is something you want to do. Then call me back. We'll give you next steps. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Ken Coleman here with my wife, Stacy. Studies show that smiling improves your physical and emotional health.
That's why we love the Burst Sonic toothbrush.
The unique soft charcoal bristles powerfully remove plaque-causing bacteria.
I really love the 3 modes, whitening, sensitive, and massage, and they look fantastic on our counter.
Burst Smart and Affordable Replacement Head Subscription is just $6 every 90 days. So visit burstoralcare.com and use the code KEN to grab a Burst brush for as low as $49.99. That's burstoralcare.com. Come. fighting your fear and doubt. I am Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Some of you out there are absolutely paralyzed. You know in your heart what your purpose is and what you were created to do, but fear and doubt are hanging out on your shoulders and they've got you completely paralyzed. And so that's why we're here. Call. I will effectively destroy them. That's what we'll do. We'll just make fun of them. We'll just make your fear and doubt feel silly. So when you hear those voices, psst, you don't have what it takes. Psst, it's too late in life. Then you could just say, hey, shut up, would you please? Just shut up. You're full of nonsense. You're full of lies. I'm not interested. And this is real. Every one of us will face fear and doubt. And the only way to overcome is to understand what the truth is. Because if fear and doubt are liars, and they are, then what's the truth? And so when we are equipped with that clarity, we will confidently step out and courageously stay the course. So that's what we do here on the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you. 844-747-2577. We go to Owensburg, Kentucky, where Brandon is on the line. Brandon, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
How you doing, Ken?
I'm living the dream, Brandon. How can I help?
Well, a few weeks ago, I talked to you, and I didn't have a whole lot of direction about what I wanted to do, and you gave me a homework assignment, and I wanted to call back and tell you that I went through that, through this sweet spot exercise, and talked to a few people, and you know, I've been in sales for 13 years doing, working for three different companies, and you know, talking to people, I feel like being in sales, I've become a good listener, being able to understand what people are needing and, you know, going back to them with trying to fit their needs and empathizing with people. And I felt like going through that, you know, I've always sold products. I feel like I would, you know, being in my sweet spot, it would look like more of a servant role, more of maybe, you know, a leadership role where I could, mm-hmm. you know, take people's aspirations and things like that and help them get to the point in life they want to be, or, you know, I don't know what that looks like, but,
well, sure,
I feel
you
like
do.
I would get more out of it if I was more in a servant type role.
I love
rather
that.
Than,
yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. So let's just break that down. From the world that I come from, my background and everything that I have ever observed from getting to work for some of the great leaders, leadership experts, or friends of mine, and I think of one close friend of mine, Pat Lencioni, who is easily a top five leadership author in the last two decades, and he would tell you, if he were on the show with me right now, that a great leader is a servant leader. So
yes.
I think you do know what you want to do, and I don't want you to kind of hem and haw through this. I want you to really confidently state to me right now with no limitations. So if I could just give it to you tomorrow, qualifications didn't matter, nothing mattered, I was just going to give it to you. I want you to tell me what your heart's been telling you the last couple of weeks since we talked. What would you love to do tomorrow? Tell me.
I would love to help people get to the place they want to be in life. And I don't, that may be, you know, in a managerial position for a company. It's not,
I think it is
somewhere.
I think it is.
I would like for that company to align with the beliefs and the, you know, systems that I feel in my heart, of how, you know, you want to lead people. You can,
that's right. You don't want to be in a culture that is their leadership philosophy, or lack thereof a philosophy, is what happens in many companies. They just don't have a leadership philosophy, and thus it's bad philosophy because it's just kind of filled by a vacuum, and you don't want something to be in a place where it's antithetical to what you are about. So you're absolutely spot on. Here's the deal. I think now's the time for you to be applying for multiple managerial positions in multiple industries, because what I heard from you just now, I didn't hear a certain industry that matters to you. I didn't hear a certain service that matters to you. I didn't hear a certain product that matters to you. What I heard is, I want to be in a situation where I can listen to people, because it's one of my top talents is being a good listener. I want to be in a situation where I can not only listen, but empathize with those people, because empathy is one of my great strengths. I want to be in a situation where I can serve them and help them get where they want to go professionally, so that they get where they want to go personally. Do I have that one down, Brandon?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, you know, I'm in my sweet spot of life as far as personal goes. I want to match that with professional.
So here's the deal. Get in a place where you can begin to lead people. You don't have a lot of experience, so don't be picky right now. But let's look at something that, you know, obviously pays you what you need to make. And you just prove to them, listen, these are my top strengths. In the interview, you go, look, this is what I do best. And so I'm good at listening and coming up with solutions. I got a strong background in sales. I got a strong background in customer service. So you know where I'm applying if I'm you, Brandon? Where do you think? You got a guess?
No.
Great. That's why you called me. Leading sales teams. Leading customer service teams. Because you come to the table with a strong resume of sales and customer service. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
So I don't want anybody leading my sales team or leading my customer service team who hasn't done it, and you've done it. So you're qualified. Because I think that's the thing running around in your mind right now. Ken, am I qualified? And the answer is yes. If you've been successful at selling and you've been successful in customer service, you can lead others in those roles. So that's where I would be going, Brandon, because you're immediately qualified.
I'll ask you one more question.
Yeah.
I haven't been in the role that I'm in right now. I haven't been in there very long. So when I go to, you know, you're saying apply for these positions. When I go to apply for these positions, is it going to look bad on negative reflection on me being that I haven't?
No.
Or should I spend a little bit more time?
No, it won't reflect negatively on you because you're going to explain it if it comes up. You're going to say, hey,
right,
I've been in the execution role, and what I realize is my heart's telling me I want to be in the leadership role. So I'm
absolutely
applying for this position because I love leading and guiding people. And I want to pour into your sales team so that they can go higher than they've ever gone before. So if I'm somebody that's interviewing you, I'm going, boy, I like the sound of that. I just know that to me, it's not about the individual sales wins anymore. It's about the team sales wins. And I love pouring into people, mentoring, guiding, coaching. Dude, just let your heart just bleed all over that desk in front of them. Let them see that you're passionate about helping people. And I think you're going to get offers all over the place, Brandon. So that's what you got to do. I mean, it's just pretty simple. That in a situation like this, where Brandon has never done the role of leading a sales team, you don't have to be shy. You don't have to kind of mealy-mouth your way into this. You just say, look, I've got all the experience. But what I really love, and I know this about myself, and I've done this discovery, is that I love pouring into people. Here's why I love pouring into people. Now, let me ask you all that are listening out there. How many times do you think somebody says that in job interviews? Where they just really say, you know what, I've done the self-discovery. Here's what I've learned about myself. Which, by the way, folks, that's why I teach the sweet spot here on the show. It's not just for your own clarity. You realize you can talk this way. The way I talk on the show, you can talk in a job interview. Well, you know, I've done the self-discovery, and I realize that my top three strengths are boom, boom, and boom. And then I know that the work that brings me the great joy, so my top three passions are boom, boom, boom. And they intersect here. You could see that these talents and strengths, the things that I do best, they fit beautifully over here. Because not only am I good at these top three passions, I actually love the results of the work. I enjoy being in the middle of the work. So in this case, Brandon can say, I enjoy leading people. I enjoy listening to people's problems. I'm okay being the guy walks in and goes, hey, my 17-year-old kid's struggling in school. I'm afraid he's going to run away from home. And I can't focus on my sales. Folks, if you got salespeople with sick hearts, they're going to have sick heads and they're not going to win. That's leadership. Brandon, go lead. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Shining the light on your path to purpose. I'm Ken, thrilled to have you with us. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Oh, we're not relying on Washington, D.C., so you're not going to hear any political talk. You're going to hear all purpose talk. That's right, because you were created to fill a unique role. It's just simply the truth. You know it. I know it. You may not know what it is, but you know deep down inside your heart, I was made for more. Now, those of you who are living in your sweet spot where you use what you do best to do what you love to do most, you go, oh, yeah, absolutely. I figured this out and I'm there. Well, spread the word. Everybody's welcome on the Ken Coleman Show because everybody's got a role to play, and that means you're needed. You've got to do it, and that's what we are about. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Esteban, who's on the line in Orlando, Florida. Esteban, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Good afternoon, Mr. Coleman. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
And the pleasure's all mine. How can I help?
I've been struggling, I guess, with finding a sweet spot. I'm currently at a job, which is, you know, pretty nice. I've been able to even grow to a managerial position. But even then, I'll be 28 in December, and I still struggle with, God, you know, there's got to be more than just, you know, a 9-to-5 or a 7-to-5. And, you know, I struggle, you know, if I should go and study to further my job where I'm at right now, or if I should go for a passion of mine, which I never got to achieve, I guess.
Well, hold on. I want to know what that is. What is this passion that you never got to get after?
I want to say drawing, but I guess friends and family, hey, you know, you might not earn as much, so, you know.
No, wait a second. Short. Wait a second. What do you mean by drawing? Be more specific.
I mean, I know I can carry it out to, you know, like computer animation, maybe illustration.
Yeah. You know, animators and graphic designers and illustrators make pretty good dough.
Yeah, I guess I just bought into the lie. And to be honest, ever since 2010, I just put it in the cabinet and just filed it away. That's it.
How old are you right now? I didn't catch that.
I'm 28.
You're 28, so this was 2010 is when you stopped drawing, basically. Stopped doodling.
Basically, yeah. By now, it's just, all my drawings.
So hold on a second. You're 21 years of age, and you've always been pretty good. At the time, you were 21, and you get, and your parents say, I don't know if that's a really safe, smart career. And so, obviously, hey, by the way, welcome to the club. A lot of parents have accidentally, unwittingly stepped on their kids' dreams, and that's what happened in that moment. It crushed you, didn't it?
So many jobs I can't even hold my hands.
It's because,
and
you
I'm
know
not
why?
Even lying about that.
I know you're not. You know what's happened at that point in your life at 21? You were at the edge of your wondering. You had wondered about drawing, hadn't you, for many years, because you were really good at it. You can freehand, or you can trace, you can do some pretty amazing things, correct?
Right.
And not only are you good at it, you love it, correct?
Yep.
And so you used to wonder a lot, didn't you? What could be, what should be, as it relates to me and my ability to create. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Guess what happened? Mom and Dad stepped all over that, and you went from wondering to wandering. One little vowel. The O got replaced by an A, and no longer were you wondering what could be and should be. You've just been wandering, looking for something, anything, to make your heart come alive. Does that sound right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, I've taken a gigantic sledgehammer to hammer a little nail in, but I've done it on purpose because you needed to hear that. You have been wandering around from job to job to job for almost a decade, and it's because you never truly have stepped into the sweet spot, and you have got to start right now. Now, here's the good news. As we sit right here, right now, Esteban, you have a good job that you said, it's a good job, and I'm in a managerial position, so you got some stability. That's great news.
Sir.
That's great news. So you stay put, because there's no need to start wandering financially. And so we're going to get back to wondering, and the way we're going to kickstart is for you, this is your homework assignment. I want you to identify all of the different potential jobs, career paths that you could fulfill that would allow you to use that core skill and core love of drawing, whether it's with an electrical pencil or whatever they call it, a digital pencil,
yep.
You know, or mouse, or by freehand. But you've got to start looking at that. And we threw a couple out already, you know, but graphic designer, illustrator, animator. Yeah, man. Listen, you gotta let your mind run and go, okay, what's available to me in Orlando, Florida? Just right in my zip code. That's a great market. Great job market. And then you need to ask yourself the next question, next homework assignment. After you identify all of them and all the different types of roles that you could do, go find them. See what's actually available. Who's hiring those? And let's find out, what are the qualifications that are necessary? What do I need to learn to do to get someone's attention? All right? And I think you probably already know that. And then, you know, if you have to get any qualifications, how much is that going to cost? How long is that going to take based on your budget and what you might have to move around to pay for any additional qualifications? And now all of a sudden we got a plan. And then one more piece of homework. I want you to identify all those areas that you're interested in to use the proximity principle, which says in order to do what I want to do, I've got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. It's my number one best-selling book. I'm going to give you the copy right now. Madison, let's give Esteban the book. And you need to actually start hanging out with people that are illustrators or graphic designers or whatever you come up with. And what's going to happen is you're going to see that by being around those people, they're going to introduce you to some places you need to be in. And when you get in those places, you're going to meet more of the right people. And the formula of proximity, which makes it powerful, is the right people plus the right places equals opportunity. And so that's what you need to be doing. And when you do that, you're around those people and in those places. Then you're going to find that you can, in fact, do what you love, because opportunity is going to come to you. And by the way, it was the parents a long time ago. Don't let it be the peers right now. Don't let peers talk you out of this, because I can see this one, Esteban. I can see that your friends might say, why would you step out of this managerial position? You got a good gig, good benefits. You got it all. Why would you do it? Be careful of that. Let's go to a question from Kyle on Twitter. This is heavy duty. He said, I had 4 brain surgeries in 2010. I've recovered, but I still have a brain tumor. I'm now changing careers after 12 years with this company. My question is, should I tell prospective employers about my tumor up front or wait further into the hiring process? I'm an upfront guy. Well, now this is one of those questions that I could talk myself into 2 different answers. But the last sentence in that question is where you've got to land, which is I'm an upfront guy. So when you say you're an upfront guy, the question is, what does upfront guy mean to you? And if you feel like you've got to tell them, then you tell them. However, I would not tell them right away. Your question was, do I tell them upfront or wait further in the hiring process? And I think if that's something you feel you need to reveal, and you tell them that. And by the way, I think that's the way to go. I'd say, look, I'm recovered. Tumor's still there. Here's what the doc says. It could go this way, could go this way. But right now I'm healthy. I would tell them that towards the very end. Because here's the deal. Folks, you got to remember that when you're in a process of getting hired, you're dealing with humans who aren't going to have the right reaction all the time. So you're not withholding. You're just going to dance with them a while. And then when we start talking marriage, then we get everything out on the table. All right, but let's see if we like each other before we say what we would say to somebody who we love. I mean, that's a dating analogy, but that's right. I would never tell some young guy, you know, to dump all your relationship baggage on the table on the first date. Whoa, we haven't even gotten through the appetizers. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. Until the next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Dr. John Deloney Show.
Hey, good folks. This is John, host of the Dr. John Deloney Show. On this show, I talk to real people just like you who are wrestling through relationship issues, mental health challenges, annoying people. We're talking about anything and everything. I am here to walk with you, and it starts now.
Subscribe to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.